take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Time to ask yourself what you believe.
Mass murder, torture, perjury, embezzlement, fraud, deception, treason. These are just a few of your many crimes against humanity. You will not win this war, for you are fighting the very essence of humanity.
Hi, welcome to Truth Your Talk. I'm April Bowden.
And I'm Verstine Henry.
Please visit our website at truthortalk.com, where you can find our Conspiracy Realist t-shirt and Liam Sheff's book, Official Stories. If you buy three t-shirts, you can get a free copy of Liam's book, which is a really good deal. We highly recommend Liam's book. We're hoping to add new things to our store really soon,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes, I'm working on that on the web.
Yeah.
It takes a while, but yeah. So we just have those two things, but we're going to open it up for you guys within a few months. Hopefully you have more to shop for. So,
yeah, we want to definitely have some more merchandise because we run this show with our love, not because we're raking in the bucks.
I know, right?
We're doing it for the money, the ones of dollars that we earn in 6 months when we sell a t-shirt, you know. But, yeah, it's a labor of love, and so we enjoy like creating the shirts too because we have more that we've created but we just haven't had a chance to put them up yet. But that's also a creative process in and of itself because you can make a statement through the art of your t-shirt and hopefully people will see that and be interested and intrigued and they'll go back to our website where we write essays describing what it means.
Definitely.
And so that's kind of cool. So today we are doing a show on fighting on the internet, social networking.
Not the fact we're doing the show, but I did it again. I did it last week, and I said I wouldn't. You know, I said I'm like, oh, if somebody makes a stupid comment or you know, I'm not going to get pulled in. But it started with this response to you sent me the video. It was a little girl. Name is Rachel Parent, and she was on, I forgot what show, and then
the Canadian something. She's a Canadian, and it was on a Canadian sort of talk show, local station or whatever, and I forget what it was too.
Oh, basically, and she did a research on GMO. She's this 14-year-old girl. I think she's 14. That's come out and preaching about like GMOs and how bad they are for you. And she's right, you know. And this news anchor is older than her, so he's asking her all of these questions. And she's done her research. And I feel like, you know, his demeanor was very condescending toward her. He was kind of talking down to her like she was stupid or like she didn't know what she was talking about or she wasn't making the right decision. And he didn't know what he was talking about.
No.
She owned him. And she owned him in a very classy way because I don't even know if she was aware. I think she was even kind of aloof to the fact that maybe he was being condescending, you know, because she's young. You know, he was just asking her questions, and he was like, well, are you sure that you know what you're talking about? Because she's like, yeah, I do, because I did this, and I know this, and here's this study. And he was giving her a hypothetical situation, so she had, like, an answer for everything that he threw at her because she actually did the research. So I thought it was funny, and I think I put the headline on the wall, like, 14-year-old girl owns newscaster. And I had a couple people. Well, I had one guy come on my page and was like, "Well, I don't think she owned her. I don't think she owned him. I think she's a spoiled brat." And I was like, "I don't really think she is." And I'm like, "Do you know about GMOs?" And then he was going on talking about GMOs and how he didn't think they were bad. And I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
Yeah.
I love these people that like first they come over to your wall. They want to comment on stuff that they know nothing about, like not even a little bit. And then when you and sometimes when there are people that seem like they're just kind of ignorant or they're just not really educated, I'm like, here, watch this. You know, this is why this way. I try to get them to understand, but a lot of the times they just become really like offended or insulted. And another guy came over, and he was talking about it was the same thing, it was the same post, and he was like, well, I don't understand why GMOs are bad, and I gave him a couple of documentaries, like The World Against Monsanto and Seeds of Death, kind of break it down, and then he starts commenting on it, oh, this is, you know, I don't believe this is disappointing, and I can't believe that you would, you know, send me such propaganda. I'm like, you didn't even watch the movie. And I was like, I sent you 4 hours worth of footage, and you're commenting to me like 15 minutes later. You didn't even watch the movie. He's like, well, I'm watching it on high speed. And technically, the first movie that you sent me was an hour and 19 minutes. I'm like, okay, so you're gonna fucking, are you really gonna argue with me? I'm like, my bad. I'm sorry, I got the minutes wrong, but you're really gonna argue with me about, you know, how long the movie is? You know, he wants to spend his time doing that over arguing over petty things. I'm like, look, this, I'm trying to help you. I don't
right.
You eat poison, you know.
Exactly.
Why I'm not, and I think there's just some people that get just so offended because they think that you're trying to, I guess, be one up on them. Like you're trying to show them mm-hmm. knowledge, and that and
yeah.
they're like, well, I don't see how this person thinks she's smarter than me. I'm really just trying to get you to understand, really. But there's some people that take it that way, and they want to show you that they're smarter than you. You know?
That's a good point. I didn't actually think of that before, but that's it, because it's a good point that they feel like you want to one up on them, or that you are just showing how smart you are, or something like that, and then they feel offended because they buy into that whole GMOs are good for you, or they're safe, or that it's science. I saw that guy on there, and it was funny because actually I found the video where you're talking. I Googled it, or I DuckDuckGoed it. I don't use Google really quick, and the guy's name was Kevin O'Leary, and the show was called CBC's Lang and O'Leary Exchange.
Yes, Kevin O'Leary.
So Kevin O'Leary was owned by this, I'll repeat it, owned by this
14-year-old. Like a bitch on a leash, that's what you...
Like a bitch on a leash. named Rachel Parent, and she has a nonprofit group called Kids Right to Know, and it's basically about the GMO labeling, and that's their thing, is that they want people to know the truth about GMOs, and they want them to at least have the right to know when they're buying GMOs, because we don't know. We're one of the, in Canada and in the United States, we're some of the only countries that don't know and don't do the labeling. And she said that what was funny about this, that guy who made that comment to you, was that he was like, well, she's anti-science, or he called her people against science, but Kevin O'Leary was the one that didn't have any science.
Yeah.
She was the one that had the science, because he was like bringing up hypotheticals, because
yeah.
he goes to her, well, what if there was a rice that could be genetically engineered to produce more vitamin A, and then that would be fed to a country where their vitamin A deficiency was so profound that they were actually having blindness in children. And she goes, oh, well, that actually happened. And it was called
golden rice.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring it up, because golden rice actually did not work. It was ineffective, and it didn't produce more vitamin A. And she didn't even bring up the fact that it actually caused a whole series of health effects. Ill health effects.
Yeah, and you know it's funny too. They're like, "Oh, we need to bring these genetically modified foods to people because they're deficient in, you know, certain vitamins." When the simplest answer is like, maybe if you would stop fucking up their environment and, you know, grow wholesome food and clean their water and help them get good sanitation, then they wouldn't have all of these diseases. It's really simple.
Right.
They make it like it's really hard. I don't understand. It's like the fucking Twilight Zone.
Right, yeah. Yeah, for real. And then, but it was just funny because that's the whole, you know, Orwellian thing, is that it's like backwards, you know, because he's saying she's the one that's anti-science,
yeah.
but when actually the other guy was the one that didn't have any science,
yeah.
because he didn't know the difference between a GMO and a hybrid. They were saying, well, haven't we been doing this for so many years, you know, this thing. And she goes, well, actually, that's a very common misconception. People don't know the difference between what's a hybrid, which is where basically, like, you know, if a Schnauzer makes love to a Doberman, you have
a
hybrid, you know, or if in our case, like, I mean, racial mixtures, I mean, you have, we're genetically different, but we combine because we're the same species.
Like a peach and an apple, like a nectarine, something like that.
I mean, you can take the seeds and you can kind of like have them make love to each other somehow, and then they produce a new seed. And so,
there's a difference between like having a dog and injecting it with an apple,
right?
or a fish,
precisely.
Or
and there's a difference. And it's a genetically engineered organism, so they actually take the organism and they put something in there, and that's what she was saying. That's what they do, is they'll maybe put a bacteria that will make it pesticide resistant. That's different
yeah.
even like saying, oh, well, we want a larger tomato, so we're going to mix it with, you know, a grapefruit or whatever. You know, they do things
and
like that.
The seeds reproduce on its own. These seeds, they don't produce. And
right.
I don't remember where I read, but I remember, you know, they said seedless fruits and stuff, if you eat it enough, it can make you infertile.
Yeah.
And all the problems that are being found with GMOs. And it was just frustrating because I felt like those videos I sent that dude that broke it down. And, you know, as he's watching it, he's like, oh, well, I'm watching it on high speed. So first of all, this is a bit, like, petty and disrespectful, I think, because if you're really going to do the research and you're really going to try and understand what these people are saying, they're talking in scientific terms, especially if you're a layperson, you're going to have to probably, like, watch the video a couple of times. You're going to have to look up what they're saying and do cross-referencing, not just watch. I think people are fucking lazy, too. They just want, like, a magic video or a magic article to show them the whole truth. And this stuff that we're talking about, we've done hundreds of hours of research on. This
right.
kind of insults me that I'm sending you this stuff, which I'm sending you in efforts to try and educate you in order for you to live in a healthy environment, yet you're watching it at high speed and commenting to me. And then he said something about, like, oh, Dr. Rima, she's not a credible doctor. And he probably went to, like, Google, typed in her name, and it said, like, debunked. And she's like, oh, you know,
right.
people, too, they're like, oh, this person's been debunked. Well, first of all, it's like, why have they been debunked? Are they really debunked? Who's writing about this? You need to do all this research. Who's funding these studies that are saying that GMOs are okay? You know,
mm-hmm.
what are their intentions, you know? I don't have any intentions by like, saying this. And people want to accuse you of being a fearmonger and spreading propaganda. It's just so fucking frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true, and it's that's a good point that you bring up. It's like we've done all these hours of research, and then people come on and act like we don't know what we're talking about. Yet we spent so much time in it, and they come to us. It's like, well, you know, don't start none, won't be none.
Yeah.
Why do you have to? If
don't
you don't want to learn about it,
you know stuff, you know.
Exactly. If you don't want to learn about it, then shut the fuck up and just stay away from me. You know,
they get like they start it, and then when you finish it, they can't take it. It's kind of funny.
Oh, I know, no doubt.
Why? You're a horrible person, I'm sorry.
And they make personal attacks, like you're saying, like how this guy says, oh, Dr. Rima is, you know, she's not credible. But based on what? Based on what do you say that? Just because, did you just Google it?
Yeah, first link that they Googled.
Yeah, the first link that they Google says, oh, her information's been debunked, Agenda 21 isn't real, blah, 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 or whatever they say. And then, you know, and those people don't base it on any actual data or information. Is just based on a personal attacks against her as a doctor. Like that one guy who was saying Dr. Mercola was debunked or whatever. And
oh yeah, I was trying to help them because I had a friend that had my friend. You're talking about?
Yeah.
I was actually trying to help them. I had a friend that was diagnosed with cancer, and I sent him a bunch of Dr. Mercola stuff, and they're like, oh, he has a history of malpractice. And I was like, where? Where?
Right.
Because they probably went. There's a website called Quacks or something. Have something Quacks that talk about all of these doctors that, you know, we consider like miracle workers, but you know, and Dr. Mercola has never had a person to die, as far as I know, under his care. So I mean, I'm sure the oncologist that she was dealing with couldn't say that he's never had a patient to die, you know.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You know, it's just.
But
ridiculous.
These are personal attacks, though. Look at that. I mean, they say quack watch. You know,
yes,
like that's the kind of thing you say to try and indoctrinate the public or trick them into thinking that this guy's a quack. And then people are just going to be afraid to look into anything that he says just because right there they've labeled him a quack. You know, it's like that. There was that website, and I think they had to change their name. But for a while, there was a website. It was called Jenny McCarthy's Body Count. And they were counting anybody who, the number of children or people or anywhere around the world, anyone who died from a disease that they said was preventable by vaccination, which it isn't.
So, yeah, so
it wasn't preventable.
It must be zero. So.
Right, I know, right?
Negative one. How many people?
None, because the vaccines don't work. But it was, I mean, how, like, rude is that? Can you imagine? Like, and Jenny's just talking about, I mean, she's not trying to say, like, what's going on around the entire world. She's just going, this is what happened to me and my kid. You know, I've interviewed these parents. I believe their story. I've done the research. And she, if you read her book, she knows what she's talking about. She's not stupid. And she's actually got a lot of...
girl, too, and that's, like, that's happened to do Playboy and whatever.
But that's what they'll
that's
use,
what
though.
They'll use. They won't even use, like, her, what she's actually done. They'll just be like, oh, she uses the Playboy bunny.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you have to be smarter than just someone who listens to a Playboy bunny. Like, I've had someone say that to me before. Like, you have to know more than just, you know, what you heard from a Playboy bunny. I'm like, well, that Playboy bunny is a lot smarter than you, motherfucker. You know? I used to listen to her all day long over, you know, these people, these quack doctors, or that's who I call quacks, the anti-science crap, that doesn't listen to what you're saying. And that's the whole thing of these, like, personal attacks. They don't ever talk about what you're actually talking about. They bring it personal. And if not to you, then to whoever you're referencing or whatever data you're presenting, they make it personal against that particular doctor.
Well, trying to look into what the other person has to say.
Right.
You know, they just hear it from somebody. It's like a petty game of high school gossip, you know?
Exactly.
It's so fucking petty. And, you know, I was talking to my friend the other day. I was like, I feel like I've kind of always, even before I was awake, I would always kind of try and listen to the other person's side. And
right.
I think, I remember there was an incident in college where this girl accused me of stealing her ring. She had this, like, it was ugly. I like hippie jewelry. I don't even like that stuff. But anyway, she lost it, and she told all her friends that I stole it.
Mm.
And I just thought it was very unfair because, you know, you're always going to support your friends. That's human nature. So I guess they were closer to me than her, and they believed her. And I felt like I had a side of a story. I didn't get a chance to kind of, like, vindicate myself or tell my situation.
Right.
Luckily, my reputation, I had a good reputation, and it didn't go, like, to the board or to the head of the, you know, I don't even know the student housing association or what.
Right.
It didn't go that far, but
right.
Socially, I just felt like I was a bit ruined at the time, and I didn't even have a chance to, like, you know, tell my side of the story, or
right.
People didn't ask me, well, did you steal her ring, or, you know, did they feel me out, you know, maybe even before that, but I just remember that situation thinking that, so anytime somebody says something about somebody, I'm going to try and see the other person's side of the story before believing them, and anybody that has ever been in that situation, I would think that you would, you know, that's a pretty fair thing to do, but when in the case of these scientists, too, that are coming out and have a different point of view about something other than a popular opinion, they're automatically accused of being quacks, or being, like, junk scientist or mad scientist or conspiracy theorist, which,
yeah.
I hate that word. You might as well just call me a nigger, because I
right.
think I'm more offended by now, conspiracy theorist, than I am being called a nigger. I am. It's so...
That's the Wakefield effect, I would say, because then, you know, again, like, what we know from the research that we've done on Andrew Wakefield and his work, they couldn't in any way, shape, or form debunk anything that he was saying, so instead they just attacked him personally.
Yeah.
And made it seem like he was practicing unethically, which he wasn't, and it was proven, and they had to retract some of the stories that they had printed about him in the journals over there in England. But he, you know, so when that happens to people, I kind of consider that the Wakefield effect, is that, you know, they can't debunk what you're saying, they really want to, but so they just bring you down personally, you know.
Yeah, and that's petty high school shit. That's really petty.
It is.
It's like, really, we're adults? Really?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so that's a good place to talk about our next guest who we're going to be interviewing, or I'm going to be interviewing. Christine has to go. Where do you have to go? You going to go llama training?
Yeah, I have to. I'm going to go what?
You wrangle some llamas?
Exactly. It's my llama wrangling day.
Yeah, and feed your pet monkey, Alejandro.
Yeah, I actually have to grade some papers and create some quizzes, so not as exciting as llama wrangling.
Oh, okay.
Or cornhole in the park, or any of those things, you know.
You have to go, so I'm going to talk to Jan in after the break. But one of the reasons that we asked him to be back on our show, because we had him on before, we did a full-length interview where we just asked him about his work and his the Trivium and all of that. But then what he's got going on is pretty similar to that. You know, people are giving personal attacks against him, but not based on his actual work or what he's written in his books, but just because they don't like what he has to say, it's sort of challenging to them. So they're attacking him personally and trying to say he's an agent and all kinds of weird shit. And, you know, because we do a lot of research on the people that we have on. We don't just pick people, anyone, and, you know, we think that they're all, their work is important, and that's why we have them on the show. And so when, you know, we see something going on, we want to give them a platform to talk about it if we can. So
yeah.
That's what I'm gonna do after the break. I'm going to talk to him about that because it's important to talk about, I think, even though it might cause a little, might stir the pot, but we're not afraid of that. But,
oh, yeah, I'm going to get a big-ass spoon. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's stir the pot up, you know, because this might cause a little bit of controversy because we are addressing this and talking about these people who already kind of don't like us. But, but you know, at some point you have to, as a man and a woman, you have to stand up and defend yourself. You can't just allow people to roll on you and just, and that's where, you know, it's easy to get sucked in, how you said you did it again, you got sucked into the Facebook fight, but it's sometimes you just have to defend yourself. It's like, When you just let things lie, it doesn't sit well with you as a person because there's that feeling of like, you know, wait a minute, that's not right. You can't just say these things about me and spread this disinformation.
Or you don't want people to think that they can continue to do that, because if you just kind of don't, then they'll just, you know, the people that get off on that too, the people are they're just cowardly. They would never say what they're saying to you in your face.
Exactly, and that's the whole thing of this social networking phenomena, is that everybody is rude on the Facebook or on the Twitter, twatter, whatever that is, and they're rude in ways that they wouldn't be to your face, and it's like, if you can't say it to me directly, then why are you talking to me like this online? And it's always people that come, like you mentioned before, it's always people that come to you. It's not like we're going out there, you know, you.
I don't go on the Obama's page. I don't go on like.
Right.
People that are pro-vaccination and stuff. Like, I have better things to do.
Exactly.
I really
do. I mean, you and me and our next guest, Jan, I mean, he's not going to them. They're coming to him.
Yeah.
And they're
Jan's
talking.
Actually, like, doing shit, like writing real books.
Right.
And having his radio show. Like, he doesn't have time for that. So.
No, right. He doesn't have time for that. But then at the same time, you know, as a man, he's got to stand up for himself.
Start stuff and go to other people.
Right.
And be like,
exactly.
Like, that's time that's taking away from, like, really important research that he's doing, you know? Like, you really don't want to get – if you're really focused on doing something of integrity and doing something that's profound and legitimate, you don't have time for that. Like, you're not going after people because you're doing – you know what I mean? You're spending your energy somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's funny,
exactly.
Before – I know you want to introduce really fast, but I just want to say this too. Going back to, like, the whole Facebook phenomenon and how people don't want – you know, they'll say stuff on Facebook that they wouldn't say to your Facebook or Twitter you or whatever, text you. But Louis C.K. makes a really good point. We were talking about this a little earlier today before we start recording, about how he won't let his kids have cell phones because he doesn't feel like it builds empathy. And that's great because it's true, you know, and – I have a kid in my class, his parents won't let him have cell phones, and I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
I told him, like, don't feel bad, you know, because it doesn't, you know, you're used to texting things or saying that you're losing that personal connection with people.
Yeah, and it's true, because it's actually, I learned about this when working with my son Aiden, involving communication. A lot of times, what we had to learn was that a lot of times what these behavioral programs will do and why they're not necessarily an appropriate fit for to teach a child, especially a child with autism, is because they'll do things like they'll put verbal communication before nonverbal communication, and like 75% of our communication is nonverbal. And so if you learn it out of order, just like what Jan's teaching is how we're taught out of order, the Trivium teaches you how to learn things in order of your development. And as is with the case of language, you learn the nonverbal communication before you learn the verbal. And then so when you have just verbal, which is all you get on these social networking sites because it's all in type, you're taking away all of that nonverbal communication, which is most of communication. And it's very important because you feel somebody, you can get so much more out of the sound of their voice. You can get so much more out of their facial expression or how they move their hands or how they look at you. Or, you know, you can see so much more in that. And that's, as I said, that's what we learn first as children. We learn that before we learn the rest. So, you know, it can be very confusing to be taught those things out of order. And kids are now made to be very highly verbal because they are texting and they are typing and they are doing these things as opposed to actually speaking to someone and being in their presence. And so I'm going to play, I think I'm going to play during the break that Louis C.K. because that's my man.
Oh, but you better watch out. We have to fight.
That's my celebrity crush.
I like to do too, man. We have to like.
Man, no, he's just so like, he's just so astute. He's so like tapped in to the culture that I just am very fond of his comedy. But
if anybody knows how we can get him on the show, hint, hint. We would love to have him.
Yeah.
Whoever's listening.
You know. I know. I just want to give him a hug and a kiss on the cheek. That's my man. But on that note, so I'm going to play some Louis C.K. for you guys to entertain you during the break. And then when I get back, Versine's going llama wrangling, and I am going to be speaking to Jan Irvin of Gnostic Media.
Peace. I'll see you guys later. I'll see you guys in the extra.
Some parents really struggle with, like, all the other kids have the terrible thing, so my kid has to... Yeah, let your kid go and be a better example to the kids. Just because the other stupid kids have phones doesn't mean that, okay, well, my kid has to be stupid, otherwise she'll feel weird.
Right.
You know, I think these things are toxic, especially for kids. It's just this thing, it's bad. And
right.
they don't look at people when they talk to them, and they don't build the empathy. You know, kids are mean, and it's because they're trying it out. They look at a kid and they go, "You're fat," and then they see the kid's face scrunch up and they go, "Ooh, that doesn't feel good to make a person do that."
Right.
But they got to start with doing the mean thing. But when they write "you're fat," then they just go, "That was fun. I like that." So
that tasted good.
Talking about this social networking culture, the behavior that's arising from the social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know everything that's out there because there's just too many. I get requests to join things, and I was like, I don't even know what that is. But anyway, people get into these arguments or mean-spirited fights and debates about any number of things, and it's really strange. I know my co-host, Racine, has a lot to say about it, but she's unfortunately not with me at the moment. I don't know exactly what she's doing. She's maybe flying in a Learjet. That would be nice, but I doubt that's what she's doing. I think she's at work. But anyway, I do, however, have someone online who's waiting for me. Jan Irvin of Gnostic Media is with me today. He is an independent researcher, author, has several podcasts and YouTube videos, which you can find at his website, GnosticMedia.com. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, and we did a full-length interview, and that was me and the girls, Versine, and our lovely correspondent, Sarah Sotomayor. So three girls on one. We totally ganged up on him. Kept him on a really long time. Asked him a million questions. He's a good sport, obviously, because he's back with me today. So please welcome to the show Gnostic Media's Jan Irvin. Hey, Jan.
Hi, April. Thanks for having me back.
You're very welcome. And thanks for responding to my request to have you on. So what do you think about what I was just talking about, how these people, this sort of social networking thing where you go on, and I don't really understand a lot of these sites. I don't understand Twitter. I don't really know what it does. You kind of put a message out there, and I don't know where it goes into the stratosphere. But then you take Facebook, for example. You put something out there, and then people start to make these comments or these assumptions, and they say really rude things that they wouldn't say to your face, right? So it brings up this whole, like, new level of behavior.
Let me just interject there. I mean, you know, see, I do a lot of independent research. I work with a lot of professors as well who, you know, help with the research and what we do. And we've exposed a lot of social engineering surrounding the New Age and psychedelic movement over the last year or two. So I should put that there first. And then, you know, what happened was, you know, on my podcast, my podcast was largely centered around ethnobotany and ethnomycology, or the historical use of psychedelic drugs. And I interviewed about 55 or 60 of the world's leading experts in psychedelic drugs when I started out the show. And so as I was doing all of these interviews, a sort of fishbowl effect began to appear. You know what? Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, you've done so many interviews on a certain area or subject, and you've talked to most of the leading researchers in that area, and then you've also read their books, and you've written detailed questions that you've done interviews with them on. And so what happened was, like, this whole different clear picture started to appear. And I was already researching Gordon Wasson, who was the original quote-unquote discoverer of magic mushrooms. And I had found original primary documents that he was CIA and CFR, and he actually headed MKUltra's sub-project 58. And so I just went out there after, you know, and I wrote an article on my discoveries, published it on my website, did some radio interviews, and then, wow, let me tell you, so that's when it all starts, just for daring to publish my work, right? It's like, and so then, you know, all of these wild and crazy just attacks started coming in. So I've actually, you know, and hear me out on this, maybe you agree with it, you can tell me what you think, but I've actually started working on a new term that I call hippie hate.
Yeah, I saw that on your Facebook page. Hippie hate, I've seen a lot of that in my lifetime, because I actually grew up in San Francisco. I had, my parents were the type that took me to Grateful Dead shows when I was, oh, probably in the womb. I don't think I don't even remember when I first started going, but I was around that. And what I witnessed at that time, and I don't know if, what it's like the hippie culture today, because I can't say I've followed it all these years, but you know, there was a lot of really stoned people who, you know, walked around naked or partially naked and were claiming, you know, to have seen God, and some of that stuff was really creepy for like a 5-year-old, you know, and very kind of inappropriate at the time, because I didn't really understand it, and but there was also some violence and some sort of I guess probably as a result of the drugs, but I didn't really see it in this sort of peace and love kind of light, because it just wasn't that. It wasn't there. It was more of this, everybody was getting together, and they wanted to get high, and they were basically getting into arguments and fights, and there was also, just from growing up in San Francisco, different phases of my life, I came into this awareness of how there's this level of hypocrisy that comes along with being different, if you think differently as the liberal or socialist kind of mainstream in that area, in the deadhead culture or the San Francisco culture. And, it, you know, various times I would come across this, and I mean, when you say hippie hate, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen it, I've been around it for years. So, what specifically, can you give us any examples of what you're talking about, like what you've observed from these people?
Well, you know, there's a typical pattern. And, you know, it's ironic because, you know, we're supposed to avoid stereotypes, and then hippies like to think of themselves as independent-minded, as critical thinkers, as, you know, they're spiritually enlightened and sort of above everybody else, you know, those stupid Republicans and, you know,
right,
conservatives, you know, and they have this whole thing that, you know, and I should you know, say clearly to people that I've done psychedelics many times. This isn't something, you know, that I've researched for 20 years as an ethnomycologist and didn't try them. So, you know, and that's one of the first things that, you know, people will attack me for. Without reading my research, they'll attack you. Oh, you've never done psychedelics. You don't get it. You're not spiritual enough. You're not aware enough. So what they nearly always do is they leap in at attacks and name calling on you. And so, and they can be very vicious. And I've seen many of the hippies even escalate their comments to, threats of violence. But I should say, you know, and you're talking about the social networks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just limited to the social networks. These hippie hate types have gone so, you know, I've got an email box full of this hippie hate, you know, of emails that I've actually saved over the years of people sending me this stuff. And then, you know, you can go online and there's people that have actually created videos totally distorting all of my work, you know, creating total straw man arguments and presenting total false statements about everything that I said. They don't have critical thinking skills, you know, so they just come up with the most insane arguments. Like, one guy tried to claim that I was a CIA agent because I posted the FOIA request denial from the CIA of my request to get information on Terrence McKenna. I posted that on my website, and it has the person who sent me the letter from the CIA, her name is Michelle Meeks. It has her name at the top. And so then this person starts going around saying that that is my agent contact at the CIA, and I'm really a CIA agent. Just for daring to post the stupid FOIA request. But, I mean, they've gone out and made videos attacking me. Like, this one guy actually made this video, 25-minute video, not addressing a single point I made. He dismissed every single citation and point with the single comment that facts are from Mars. And then he went on to say how this guy Terrence McKenna is all spiritual and he's a spiritual hero and I have no right to talk about McKenna because he's so more, you know, so much more spiritually advanced than I am. And so he just launches into all of these name-calling attacks on me. They never deal with any of the actual information or anything that you said or wrote. It's just always these attacks on you. So this is how the spiritually evolved hippies and New Agers, how they deal with things that they haven't looked at. First, they approach it ignorantly, or making the argument of ad ignorantium, arguing from ignorance. So they won't look at anything you read.
Right.
Then they create a total false straw man about everything you've said. Then they name call at you, and then they laugh at you. You give an appeal to ridicule. You're wrong because that's really their whole argument, right? And then they strut around like a pigeon on a chessboard, knocking over all of the pieces, pretending like they've won and like they're more spiritually advanced than you. So it's all of this judgmental name-calling, ignorance is bliss. You know, another thing that they use is, you know, you're being negative. You know, you're just out there because you're negative. All of this, you're a wacky conspiracy theorist. You know, it doesn't matter how many citations you quotes, no matter what, from, you know, original primary sources that are unquestionable, they won't read that. They will say, oh, well, you believe in a conspiracy, so you're crazy. You know, Terrence McKenna, who we proved was a CIA agent, we actually found a recording of him admitting that he was in deep background in public relations for more than 15 years. And so this guy, Terrence McKenna, who works in public relations of all things, as he himself admits, creates this whole lie about conspiracies and says, well, conspiracy is an epistemological cartoon of reality. And so, you know, so we're just going to dismiss the citations and facts and the things that people say, and, you know, no matter that history books are filled with conspiracy, no matter that just about every major courthouse in the country tries conspiracies every day. We're going to dismiss all of these facts. We're going to make one sweeping generalization that it's an epistemological cartoon of reality. And then what you have is thousands, hundreds of thousands of Terrence McKenna drones who go around and parrot this and refuse to look at anything that you put forward that would actually get them to question their religious beliefs and this religious hero of theirs.
Yeah, this guy who I think you're talking about, I saw this article and he says that he's going to devote an entire chapter of his book to you, talking about you. And I thought, ooh, God, this guy's a stalker much, you know. That's an obsession.
Well, you know, that's really interesting that you say that. You know, there's been one of these guys that's been going around for maybe about 2 years now, I would say. And, you know, it's like, and there's more of them, but they all center around this website, Reality Sandwich. It's like their central hub, you know. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of flock around it like a flock of turkeys, I guess. But, oh, geez, man. Anyway, it's almost always men. And it's very much like they have this homoerotic just hate for me for whatever reason, right? You know, it's pretty bizarre, I've got to say, you know. And it's like, I'll get this, you know, this last couple of weeks. Well, a few months ago there was this guy who went on he got some radio show to give him a spot, and he went on the radio for an hour and just slandered me and my work. And then I the radio station apologized to me, realized that they screwed up, and they offered me a couple hours to rebut him back. And so then this guy has been like sending me all of these emails like, you know, you're a douchebag and F you and I'm going to prove that you're a fraud and, you know, just all of this wild stuff. And it's like, you know, it's always about me. They never focus on your work or what you actually say. And if they ever do, they completely distort your actual words. Like, you know, like on the radio show, he started on page like 120 of my book and ignored all of everything that I wrote before that. And he goes on these wild attacks like, these 14 scholars debunked John Allegro's work in the London Times, right? You know, so you go to this London Times article, and, you know, it's this guy, Sir Godfrey Driver, and 14 other professors, and they published the letter actually 6 days or 5 days from the time that John Allegro published his book. His book had 150 pages of some of the most extensive endnotes I've ever come across, published in any book ever, and just going through particular sets of them on psychedelic studies when I was researching his background, it took me a year just to pull up those references. Now, a team of 14, 15 scholars together, without the internet, with all of the sources ready at hand, like at a school like Oxford, they might be able to pull it off in a month or month and a half, not 6 days. The book hadn't even shipped yet, okay? Mind you that. So, you know, these guys, this was their argument. They didn't address, again, just like all of this other stuff, they didn't address a single point that Allegro actually wrote, okay? They said, let me see if I can find here. They said, this is a work upon which scholars would not formally wish to comment. But the undersigned specialists in a number of relevant disciplines and of men of several faiths and none feel it their duty to let it be known that the book is not based on any philological. Mind you, there's 150 pages of extensive notes in this book, and I've had philology experts look at it as well, but and other evidence which they regard as scholarly. In their view, this work is an essay in fantasy. So they don't address a single point. They say they debunk, quote unquote, the work just by dismissing it as fantasy. So this is the same stuff that we see. And these are academic scholars. And this is the same stuff that we see, you know, the hippie and new age community do. Oh, well, anything, you know, anything that they haven't studied that they feel sounds negative to them, they attack it because it's not quote unquote positive. But how could you judge something positive or negative if you don't study it? And what if it saves your life or your family's life? And, you know, does your ignorance regarding it help you because you ignored it? I mean, doesn't the word ignorance originate from ignore? So, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, so you're arguing that we should all be positive and pillow sit and be inactive. And, you know, these same people generally, you know, they kind of center around the quantum physics and this sort of stuff too, you know. Quantum, you know, the what I call the quantum physics insane asylum, or, you know, the Roger Rabbit land. You know, these quantum physicists, and it's so funny too, because these quantum physicists typically don't have any background in solid logic. So, you know, there are no contradictions out in nature. There are only contradictions in the mind of men, you know, male and female. And so whenever you see a contradiction like we talked about before, you should recognize that as either an error or a lie. Instead of saying, oh, well, there's contradictions, we can't know truth, man. You know, you should actually go, whoa, well, there's a contradiction here. We need to get further down into this and figure out where the contradiction lies. And that's how you find truth. So these quantum physicists, rather than realizing, such as logic, you know, logic is the art of non-contradictory identification, the quantum physicists have created mathematical formulas to debate the contradictions in their own heads, because there are no contradictions out in nature. So they've actually created mathematical formulas so that they can hold 11 simultaneous contradictions in their minds. And so, like, when, you know, like, when you get the whole joke, I mean, it's 90 some odd years that quantum physics has been going on. And, you know, you hear these comments of, like, you know, there's this one quantum physicist who says, you know, nobody in the field of quantum physics understands it. Okay. Well, that should tell you the joke that you're all dum-dums arguing over your own BS, you know, your own logical fallacies and contradictions, you know. And it's like, you know, I've debated some of these guys too, some of these quantum physics professors, and you start pointing out this stuff, and what do? Just like the hippie, they immediately turn to name calling and attacks on you. They won't focus on any of your points. You know, the issue is they start with all of these false premises and assumptions that they've never questioned, that they just assume are fact, right? And then they go out and they build these wild, you know, explanations for them, but the map is not the territory, and that's the problem of these guys. So they create these wild mathematical formulas and theories and all of this stuff. Like, you'll hear Amit Goswami going on the radio saying that quantum physics is magic, it's voodoo, it's the merger of science and religion, and my favorite was, it can't be verified. You know, it's like, okay, so let me get this right. Okay, so it's magic. Okay, the word, you know, magic from magi. Abracadabra comes from the word abecedarian, or ABCD. You know, so these people are casting spells, and magic was actually sophistry, or the misuse of logic to fool other people. And so, you know, it's like, oh, I get it now. Amit Goswami is a magician. He's spinning a big pie. <You know? laughs> But it's like either that or these guys are just so caught up in their own befuddlement that, you know, and lack of using critical thinking. I mean, you know, like when you look out the window, or even around your house, you know, it's like you see the street and, okay, a telephone pole and a wall and plants and trees and, you know, this sort of thing, and you don't see any contradictions out there. You don't see, like, you know, two nouns unless we, like, put them together. You don't see, like, bird wall, you know, and stuff like this. You know, it's like they're, you know, unless, you know, you have some genetic engineers who are manipulating weird stuff and trying to create crazy things, you know. So that doesn't happen, you know. So what they want you to believe is that you can't trust your own five senses to find the truth. You can't ask who, what, where, and when before you determine why to discover how. So, you know, they go around creating this whole thing surrounding the contradictions in their own minds. And when you get that, I mean, it's just so funny. But, you know, of course, the New Age and the psychedelic movement has totally wrapped themselves around this quantum physics, you know, insane asylum. And they want you to believe that, you know, if the, you know, you go to the grocery store, it doesn't matter what change you get back from the cashier, right? Or even, for that matter, what money you gave him, because you're just going to wish that your mind can just change reality. Never mind, none of these guys have ever proven it.
So it's like Jedi mind trick. They just go in
it's
and
like,
just get back what they want.
Right. I'm going to stare at this. You know, and it's like, it's so funny, too, because this is all social conditioning. When you go through the, when you go through, like, just look on Netflix, and you'll see, like, most of the movies on Netflix and on TV, et cetera, these days, they're all pushing this magic theme. This, there is no critical thinking. It's all magic. And, of course, this stuff was, a lot of this was originally created by Aldous and Julian Huxley, and it surrounds the Fourth World Wilderness agenda that we've been trying to expose through our work. You know, Aldous Huxley, his book, The Brave New World, Brave New World, I mean, he was, his whole book and his whole agenda was selling the idea of the New World Order. If you want to know what the New World Order plan is, read Aldous Huxley. You know, and I just had General Stubblebine on my show a few weeks ago, who admitted that, and he was the former head of Army Intelligence, and he admitted on my show that Aldous Huxley was an agent. And he said that as far as he could tell, Aldous Huxley did head MKUltra.
So what do you think about when people say that Aldous Huxley was just kind of giving everybody a warning?
Oh, it's
or he
ridiculous.
Wasn't... Yeah.
I mean, you know, anybody who believes that, read his book, Moksha. I mean, even in there, he talks about how, I forget the date, is 1961. But in there, January 1961, I think, or February. But in there, in Moksha, he's talking about how he was at the Macy Foundation conference on controlling the mind, which, of course, the Macy Foundation was the organization that was largely behind the creation of Project MKUltra for the CIA. So he was at those mind control conferences. Not only that, we see, it's on like page 52 or 56 of Moksha, we see him talking in October 1954 of Dr. Andrea Puharich's LSD experiments for the U.S. Army Chemical Center at Edgewood, Maryland, etc. And this was all top secret stuff. And he's talking about this stuff in 1954. MKUltra didn't become known to the public until the early 1970s. So he's 20 years ahead. But not only that, we see him going around actually suggesting many of the studies. Like in Moksha, you see him suggesting a study of hypnotizing people under very high doses of psychedelics. And then if you turn to Acid Dreams in the introduction, I think it's page 7, you see doctors complaining about this absurd study that they're having to do that doesn't work, of trying to hypnotize people under the influence of psychedelics. And then, you know, later on you see, again, you see Huxley talking with Louis Jellion West, who is another proved MKUltra agent. He's the one, he's the moron who gave the elephant Tusco a 300,000 milligram dose and killed him instantly. And so, you know, this guy was part of Huxley's experiments, et cetera. But we see Huxley talking about this stuff, you know, with this guy, Louis Jellion West, and, you know, these hypnosis studies. And he's saying, oh, you know, well, that one didn't work. Maybe we need to do it this way. But, you know, it's really interesting because he talks about he and his brother are traveling to this or that university that's doing this or that mind experiment, or they have, they're doing these or those animal experiences. So Aldous is always right there. And not only that, but the Century Club librarian sent me a CD where, in the beginning of it, the Century Club is a front for the CIA. And Aldous Huxley, in the beginning of this audio recording on Gordon Wasson that the Century Club sent me, right in the beginning, the head of the Century Club is talking about Aldous Huxley's membership there and how Aldous and Gordon used to hang out there and talk about all of this stuff. And, of course, Gordon Wasson and Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA, were the two people who approved most new members for the Century Club. So, it, yeah, I mean, this organization is directly tied to the CIA. There's many banking officials there. You know, Gordon Wasson nominated George Kennan, the former ambassador of the Soviet Union, who was an OSS agent in Germany. And, I mean, the list goes on and on. Walter Lippmann, you know, there's a huge list of these people that center around this Century Club that are involved in these sort of intel and banking connections here.
Right. Yeah, these guys always play in the same sandbox.
Sure,
it?
Sure.
It's you know, so easy to find.
But, yeah. You know, what I find interesting, Ed, just to interrupt you for a second there, one more point, is that, you know, this trick that Huxley did, see, Huxley was also a Fabian socialist, which the Fabian socialist logo is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Okay, so what you have is Huxley, he's going, like his famous Berkeley speech where he's supposedly warning the public that this is going to happen, but he never says that it's he and his brother and his close friends that are organizing and doing the whole thing. Okay, so he never, you know, it's like this, oh, these, it's going to happen, this mysterious other out there, but he never says we're doing it. It's like when you think of, excuse me, President Eisenhower's address to the nation when he talks about the military-industrial complex, right?
Yeah.
And you know, so he's warning everybody, and then, you know, you start digging into his background, and you're like, oh, well, he's working with Wasson and Aldous Huxley and Dulles at the Century Club.
Right.
And so he's like, you know, he's behind all of this stuff, right? And he never tells you, I'm the president, you know, and we're the ones who approve this whole military thing, even though the Constitution says it's illegal for a standing army. And we're the ones that have put all of this stuff in, and we're the ones running all of this stuff in the background. But it's this mysterious military-industrial complex is going to descend upon you. And, you know, but again, he and his buddies are the ones organizing and doing the whole damn thing behind the scenes. So it's this talk, you know, it's this trick that they essentially use where, you know, by them going out and giving a talk, it prevents most people from ever critically thinking about those presenters of those, of that so-called information. And then when you realize that they don't ever actually address any of the real issues, and when you start doing background investigation on these guys, you know, on my website, if people want to see, for instance, just Aldous Huxley's background, go on my website and click on the brain database link up there at the top, and you'll see a whole database there, you know, and all of, or many of Huxley's connections into the intelligence community. And we've spent a couple of years mapping out Aldous Huxley's connections there. And so, you know, and Aldous Huxley was involved in the Church of Scientology. I mean, you know, he hung out with Aleister Crowley, Annie Besant, Arnold Toynbee. He, William Sargent wrote the book, The Battle for the Mind, that's all about the Fourth World. He was close with him and Bertrand Russell and, you know, the Luce family of Time Life that really promoted all of this. George Bernard Shaw. You know, I.A. Richards, who wanted to create the dumbed-down form of the English language of 850 words. He was associated and worked with all of these key guys. And, you know, he was, as far as we can tell, he was also British MI6. yeah, I mean, it's just it's an amazing list. But, you know, he's also one of the key people who influenced the creation of the Esalen Institute up in Big Sur, Northern California, where they promote all of these, you know, these different themes. And when you think about them, you know, each individually, it's not so much. But when you see them as a whole, you can really see their agenda. You know, it's not just one thing, but you take all of these little things and you put them together and you can see their agenda.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can see how this ties into what we were talking about at the beginning, which is this hippie hate thing. Because there's this, what I see in the behavior is a lot of this, like, how we're describing at the beginning, this sort of absence of certain emotions and just think positively, but then at the same time, they're you know, they're stalking you and they're being totally rude.
Oh, sure.
And totally obnoxious assholes. But then they're preaching at the same time that this is, you are to ignore any type of negative thought or,
right.
You know,
I mean, it's irony at face value, isn't it? I mean, they're screeching all of this negative behavior and hatred and ignorance. They'll never study anything that you put forward. It's just all based on ignorance and hate and fear. And then for you daring to publish your article in citations, they'll say that you're the paranoid one.
Right.
You know, they refuse to focus on anything that you actually said or any of the citations that you provided, no matter if the citations came directly from the president or the CIA. You know, and I have published CIA documents out of the 1970s Church Commission that showed that Gordon Wasson, proved that Gordon Wasson was in charge of MKUltra Subproject 58. Never mind these primary documents that prove it. These people will still say Jan is nuts, he's a crazy conspiracy theorist, he's wacko, he's paranoid, whatever. Anything to put their focus on me with all of their hate and their name-calling and their ignorance, and to take it away from any of the actual work that any of these guys could simply verify. I mean, you just read what I said, you look up the citation, you go to the library where I got it, or you call up the librarian at that, you know, university, and you say, you know, would you send me this page so I can check, you know, this citation? And then when it comes, you read it, and if it says what I said it says, guess what? If it, you know, it's right. If it's totally made up, and it says something totally different than what I claimed, then I either made an error or I lied. It's that simple. You know, and that's how people can get to the truth. But people are conditioned through this, you know, quantum physics nonsense that there is no truth and that therefore they might as well not even look. And, you know, furthermore, I'm being negative and I'm creating that reality. I had this woman, Jessica Mystic, contacted me recently trying to tell me that informing people and putting this information out there was actually increasing the negativity in the world and ignorance and therefore helping to keep us all under mind control. Of course, she had never looked at any of my work.
Right.
You know, it was just wild. And I'm like, so what have you studied of my work? And she's like, well, you're putting out conspiracy.
Like you created the conspiracy.
I'm like, okay, I went to, you know, to Yale, to Purdue, to Stanford, all of these different universities, and gathered up primary documents and quoted these people in their own words how they were doing this stuff.
Right.
And it's like, I'm being negative. Now, if you were duped in something, such as the New Age and psychedelic, by guys like Gordon Wasson and Terrence McKenna, both of these guys were both in PR or propaganda. Both of them worked in propaganda. Gordon Wasson for J.P. Morgan Bank, Terrence McKenna either for the CIA or the FBI. Now, wouldn't you want to know that your religious cult hero was a paid propagandist?
You'd think.
And so when you put this information out there, and, you know, Terrence McKenna uses all of this sophist trickery wording, and they'll say, well, no, he's arguing that the mushrooms recruited him. It's like, no, he's saying they, as in they, the intelligence community, you know, because obviously mushrooms, you know, he's like, you know, I was broke, I was out of money, I was on the run, man, you know, and he's
right.
they caught him, and, you know, it's like, did mushrooms have money to pay him? Did they have deep background positions of which he claimed the less said the better? You know, do they have public relations positions? Of course they don't. But this is the inane sort of argument that people come up with. Oh, well, he was talking about working in PR for the mushrooms, man. It's like, no, if you stop thinking that the mushrooms are going to save the world, that getting high is going to save the world, and start thinking critically, you'll see that they were using that to fool you, and you bought it, you know? And,
right.
You know, and it's not to say that psychedelics don't have a history of spiritual use and, you know, religious use through the indigenous cultures, etc. And we can get into, you know, weaponized anthropology and Gregory Bateson, and, you know, that's a whole other topic that can, you know, go way down into. But David A. Price, He's Professor David A. Price. He's written extensively on weaponized anthropology and showing how they intentionally use anthropology in this sort of thing to subvert the public. And they did it in the Soviet Union, and then Gregory Bateson, and another key figure behind MKUltra, who was married to the anthropologist Margaret Mead. The two of them helped implement it here in the U.S. You know, and Gregory Bateson was at these Macy Foundation conferences with Aldous Huxley, you know, and it's like, come on, people.
Well, it's unfortunate that they don't want to see the truth. It's perennial.
It's been conditioned on them, though. You know, the compulsory education system. And then, you know, this is why we put out all of this Trivium stuff that we talked about last time on your show, is that, you know, people have been conditioned to put logic before grammar, okay? So now, grammar, and I'm speaking general grammar, is who, what, where, and when. And logic is why, and rhetoric is how. How can you know why something is unless you've asked who, what, where, and when first? So what they do is they actually get, you know, okay, let me put it another way also. If we consider grammar as input on a computer, logic as processing on a computer, and rhetoric as output on a computer, then we can see the problem. So what happens is if you put the logic on your computer before the input, what would you be processing?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's exactly right. You would have to channel it from Uranus, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Right.
Or somewhere.
Uranus or the Pleiades or wherever. And so this is what actually happens, okay? And so the person is left befuddled. They don't know how to gather simple information anymore. They don't know how to ask questions like a child. Who, what, where, and when? Then why? Then how? So, you know, you get people to, you know, well, what happens is when the logic is before the grammar, then they're left to appeal to other people's authority, the policeman, anybody with a costume or a fancy coat on, or et cetera, the judge. They're left to appeal to all of these people for thinking rather than verifying things themselves, you see. Right. And so either that or they channel mystical thoughts that they don't verify in reality. Basically, any thought that comes to mind, they think is then fact and true, you know, no matter how ridiculous and absurd it is.
Yeah, and that would be really weird if every thought you had actually was real or came to being, you know? Because, I mean, just think of all the weird stuff that just travels through your mind on a day-to-day basis.
I mean, it would
and
be...
So if you believed that that was real, though, wouldn't you be a little kooky?
Well, I mean, that's why I keep calling quantum physics the quantum physics insane asylum, and I call quantum physics also, you know, Roger Rabbit land. If quantum physics were real, we would be living in Roger Rabbit land. We're not, folks. Wake up and stop with all of the mystical, magical thoughts, you know. The word mystical means to befuddle or to confuse. The word occult means to hide. The word sacred comes from secret. These are all words to trick and fool and manipulate others downstream with these thoughts. You know, and the problem is, you know, people really, where they really drop the ball and get caught into all of this hippie hate is that they don't understand the onus of proof, and they constantly go around arguing the arbitrary. Now, the onus of proof is whenever anyone makes a claim about something, it's solely on that person to provide the evidence to support it, okay? And they should have done all of the grammar themselves to be able to support that argument. If they don't provide any support, it's called arguing the arbitrary. Excuse me. Now, I can say that I have a green fairy here in the corner to sell you. And if you say, no, you don't, well, the hippie would say, well, F you, you're stupid, man. You're an idiot. You're dumb, dude. You're not being positive. You just have to believe, man. You need to take some more mushrooms, dude. You're dumb. You know, so this is what happens rather than, you know, looking and thinking of things critically, you know, saying, okay, well, you know what? You're right. There isn't a fairy in the corner, and I did fail the onus of proof, and you caught me, you know what? And you just saved yourself $150 from buying something that didn't exist in the first place, because I would have been, you know, I'll sell you make-believe fairies out of my corner all day long, dump them. And so, and this is what happens. These people all buy into this fairy, the quantum physics,
right.
You know, the magic, you know, and like I said, the word magic comes, the word abracadabra from magic, and, you know, and people can listen to my show. We've talked about the magistrate and magi, you know, my interview with Jose Barrera and all of this stuff. But the word abracadabra comes from abecedarian and from A, B, C, D. So a spell in magic comes from spelling, words, people. Magic is words. Magic is the misuse of words to fool you into believing dumb crap. Do you get it? You know, it's sophist tricks. And if you go around thinking that you don't have predators and that you just need to sit on a pillow and ignore everything and be completely off balance in your thinking, you know, positive thinking isn't balanced thinking. It's not critical thinking. It's off balanced positive thinking, and you're ignoring half of the world. You know, and recently we did a show on my podcast with Mark Passio, talking about the balance of the masculine and feminine, the sacred masculine and feminine, and exposing New Age bullshit. And so, you know, this is this whole thing that's caught out there. You know, the whole hippie New Age community gets caught in this New Age positivist, you know, uncritical, unbalanced thinking. But like you pointed out earlier, you know, they claim it's positive, and they claim it's spiritual, and they claim that they're evolved, which, you know, Aldous Huxley and his brother created that whole thing, which is a whole other story, while they're name-calling at you and spreading their ignorance and hate.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible, and they don't see it. They don't see it. You know, the hippies are the most mind-controlled, easily duped people out there because they just refuse to think. It's so much easier to name call at you. And April, you know, and you've already experienced this, you know, growing up, but, you know, just for releasing this show, you're going to get a whole lot of hippie hate. And in fact, we should title this episode Hippie Hate, maybe, you know.
Okay, bring it. I'm ready. Now, I mean, for years I've had these people who give me a hard time if I project anything that resembles anger, frustration over things that are angry and frustrating.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, and I would say, well, what, I mean, are you supposed to just ignore certain human emotions? Like, are you just supposed to be positive all the time? But if you have these other feelings, that those have no value whatsoever.
Oh, sure.
When, of course, they have value, we know that we need those feelings for survival.
Exactly.
And so if you're taking those away, then you're taking away this, your survival mechanism.
And isn't that the point?
Right, yeah, because then wouldn't you be weaker?
Wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you be weaker?
When your enemy is coming and there are wars and genocides all the time, when your enemy is coming, wouldn't it behoove them to get you to think, oh, well, you know, I just need to sit on a pillow and meditate and be positive, and I'm going to change the world?
Right.
You know, and meanwhile, you know, people are getting machine gunned down, and it's like, really? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And then and people get mad over really stupid things, too, just because they don't want to think critically or they want just an easy answer. You know, like I pointed out to this guy there was this viral picture going around that was showing that you could identify GMOs with a PLU code of an 8. I pointed out that was an urban myth, but someone had just put that out and it wasn't true. And Jeffrey Smith, who runs the Institute of Responsible Technology, did the movie Millions Against Monsanto and all that stuff, had written an article about how it was a fallacy. It wasn't true. And there, you know, at the time there was no fresh produce on the market that was GMO. So it wasn't even a possibility. And so I pointed it out, but he attacked me personally and got really angry, and so that I was trying to tell him not to read labels and not to do, and I go, what are you talking about, dude? I'm telling you that
the lesser to the greater fallacy, right?
I'm going, well, why would I be telling you that? I'm just, do you want to sit there and waste your time looking for something that isn't there? I'm just giving you a shortcut to let you know, here's the research that Jeffrey Smith did, he already knows that this thing isn't true, and it couldn't possibly be true because, you know, there aren't GMO fresh GMO potatoes or tomatoes or those things aren't on the market. You can't buy them in the produce
section. April, you know what? You're just a crazy hater. You are one crazy hater, and that's all there is to it. You are one negative you-know-what, you know? And so, you know, I don't know what the F is your problem, but you're just crazy and you're stupid and nobody needs to listen to anything you say because you don't have an intelligent thought. You know, I hear this kind of stuff from hippies all day long.
It's gross. I know. And it's
and you've seen it. You've seen them come on my Facebook page and do this stuff just for daring to post an episode or a new article that exposes this stuff. And like I said, you know, almost all of my research is based on primary documentation. You know, we scoured a dozen universities to come up with all of these original documents from these people. And these, you know, these haters won't look at any of it. I've invited, you know, some of the leaders of the hippie hate cult, you know, to my place. And I said, you know, come on up, sit down, and we'll review the documents and exactly where they came from. You can call up the librarians and verify them, have them send you an original copy so that you know that I didn't fake the document, whatever you need to do. Let's just sit down and look at, you're crazy, you're an idiot, man. Every time, every single time, you know. I've had maybe one of these, you know, and some of the haters do eventually, you know, start to think, you know, and they'll be like, all right, I'll go read your article. And then, like, you hear from them a few months later, dude, I'm really sorry, man. You were right, you know, and so there, you know, there is a benefit to trying to talk to these people, and which is why I, you know, try and debate some of them and walk them through the process, you know. And then the other issue is you get this, you know, like I said, I did this interview with General Stubblebine, and I asked him about this thing that the intel community uses to for disinformation against the public, and I call it stick with stupid. And so, you know, these paid informants, they will never look at anything rationally. They will never look at any citation or any quote. They will never provide any citation or any quote. They have to, you know, in the intel community, the paid disinfo guys have to stick with this narrow line of constant stupidity. And that's how they keep others from looking at the information, right? And so, you know, there's them, and then you can usually, you know, and that's kind of their tell. And then and then there's the willful idiots, and they'll usually start to question their idiocy when you keep pointing it out over and over. It's like they'll start to, you know, maybe I need to check this citation. Yeah. You know, so after a couple of months, you'll hear back from them apologizing for their behavior or whatever. But it's, you know, it's so funny. I mean, people actually think that it's easier to go through life believing a lie, through their entire lives believing a lie, than it is to spend a few minutes or a few hours or maybe a few days to look something up.
Yeah, I don't understand that really. It's that's a very strange way of thinking, in my opinion. You know, is that you want to just believe in a liar, you want to believe in a false paradigm, you know? And I don't know. And you're more patient than I am, though, because I've given up on some of these people on Facebook a long time ago, trying to, you know, because in my movement, more in the health area and vaccines and all that, I mean, I'll get these trolls and all the time. I would get them frequently back in before, but I don't as much anymore because I don't engage them, so they just kind of started to leave me alone.
Yeah.
But you know, it, because I used to try and do what you do and try and explain them, and hopefully they would come around. And but most of the time they're not interested in that. Usually they're just interested in attacking me personally, or saying that, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, or, you know,
yeah,
it's wrong, or calling me stupid.
Well, you know,
the...
you know, to a point I agree with you, but then it's like you get, you know, I've got like, you know, a couple few hundred emails over the years from people where's, you know, who I had tried to debate and bring through, who have actually written me back years later and said, you know what, thanks for all of that, I really appreciate it. And then they can go out and help other people also. So, I mean, it's not, you know, a total waste. I mean, if you are able to help one person out of 100, you know, is it still worth it? And I would say probably yes.
Yeah. No, I would agree. Yeah, and it kind of depends on how someone approaches me. Because if they come at me with an attitude of just pure insults and hate, I just
sure, of course.
You know,
they have to show an iota of intelligence and willingness to be honest, you know, and stop with their name calling and hippie hate. But
yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, we can see these people that are caught in these cults and all of this stuff. And, you know, if it was your family member or whatever, your sister, your brother, a close friend, you wouldn't want to see this person, if you knew about it, you wouldn't want to see this person just get swept up into, you know, some crazy cult and not realize it. You would want to try and help them, you know.
Yeah.
And the compulsory education system, they didn't sign up for that shit when they were five. You know,
right.
it was forced on them, and so they didn't get the trivium, they didn't get the critical thinking skills, and, you know, so we can't blame them for a lot of this idiocy. So, you know, part of that, I guess I'm trying to be compassionate with them, you know, trying to get them to think and look at some of these things. But like I said, I mean, you know, there's... Sometimes when I totally agree with you, it's like you should just ban every single one of them for being stupid. But then, you know, that doesn't really help either. So there's got to be a balance somewhere between just banning them flat out and trying to work with, you know, the ones that show an iota of intelligence versus the obvious stick with stupid trolls and disinfo agents.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Because, I mean, I guess... For in my case, because it's a personal issue, because I have a vaccine-damaged son, so when people would attack me, like, I didn't know what I was talking about, I'd go, well, no, actually, I do, because I experienced it, and I watched it, and I saw it, and not only that, but it's an insult to my hundreds of hours of research, and an insult to all the work and effort I put into understanding this. So if you're going to try and dispute what I have to say when I've presented the evidence, obviously... Then yeah, you know, then just go away.
Sure, and they always name call and attack you, and never any point that you raised. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I mean, as a woman too. I mean, not to put that whole thing out there, but I've had a lot of guys, especially, you know, trying to use things like, I don't know, just insults, insulting my intelligence as a female, like a, you know, oh, you're just a secretary. I had one guy call me that. I was like, what? A secretary? But, I mean, just things like that. I don't know where that guy got that information. But anyway, I've since, you know, and I will sometimes, and, you know, I have a sense of humor, so I will sometimes kind of make fun of them or get sarcastic and, you know, say naughty things. But
sure. Well, I gotta say there's plenty of feminist hate out there for us guys, too.
Oh, absolutely, and that's part of my awakening. Actually, it was a huge wake up call to what this whole thing is, this false right left paradigm of, you know, growing. As I said before, I grew up in San Francisco, and when I was in college, I had to take a history course, U.S. history course. So I took this course on women's history, and so it was about 90% female, mostly self proclaimed feminist, and Bill Clinton was president at the time, which gives away my age, but he was president at the time, and he had essentially, you know, the whole thing was going on with Paula Jones and the Monica Lewinsky thing, where all these women were coming out saying that they had been molested by him, and the young woman, I can't remember her name, and that he had raped at Oxford. And I found it appalling, the hypocrisy that they were willing to give him a pass, even though they're self-proclaimed feminists, so they should really be about, you know, female empowerment and all of this, but yet here's this guy going around basically raping and molesting women.
Sure, well, and the feminists will never tell you that the majority of rape in the U.S. happens to men in prison.
Ugh, no.
You know, and then
right.
And there's countries where, you know, like in Africa, where for initiation rites and shit, they're raped. And this kind of stuff is never talked about. You know, it's like, it's... You know, I don't know if you've ever talked or interviewed Karen Strahan of Girl Writes What, but she's really done a lot to expose the whole feminist fallacy. We did a show on Gnostic Media together called The Feminist Fallacy, but she's done such great work to expose the whole feminist lie and how it's, you know, like 90% of the stuff that they sell in feminism is just completely fabricated.
Well, I believe Gloria Steinem admitted that she received money from the CIA for her magazine. What was that called? Ms. Magazine?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised for a second.
Yeah,
you know, there's so many Zionist ties into the whole feminist movement and all of this stuff too. I mean, it just becomes really obvious when you look for 2 seconds.
Yeah, but that was a huge that course that I took, and how everybody reacted to it was they were sort of blaming the victim that had been raped because they wanted to so badly believe. It's like they just want to be on the winning team, you know? And so because they consider themselves liberal Democrats, and that's what Bill Clinton claimed to be, but is not, you know, he's a lot of things, but not that. But anyway, he claimed to be that, and so everybody wanted to be on the winning team. So they were willing to give him this pass and say that essentially that the girl had it coming because she went to his room and she should have known better. And I'm like, really? Wow. I mean, if you reversed it and it was George Bush, they would have been all over him, you know, trying to get him impeached and everything. So that just, it was a big surprise to me because I thought, oh, these people are so enlightened. I was in my 20s at the time, and I really didn't realize how hypocritical this whole thing was. And so that was part of, like, I would say, because you know how your wake-up call or your awakening comes in stages, and that was a big one for me, was seeing the hypocrisy of the feminists.
And then you realize that most of what they're saying is a total lie. Like when Karen Straun breaks it all down, you're sitting there going, wow, you know, I didn't know that. But, yeah, in fact, going through her work, and that was about almost a year and a half ago for me when I first went through it, but going through her work was probably one of the hardest things for me to digest that I've ever studied. And I was in kind of shock for about 2 weeks, I would say, from studying her stuff.
Yeah, there's another one who
everybody go study Karen Straun.
Yeah, she's really good. And then there's her name is Christina Hoff Summers, and she was on Bill Maher. Bill Maher had this show with Michael Moore, the Mangina, and they were talking about this sort of thing. She wrote a book called The War Against Boys, and she gets into a lot of that stuff, and I want to have her on too, because I think that, you know, just from my own experience and from seeing that and then learning about Gloria Steinem and the movement, and I can tell you also from the health aspect, a lot of these things that the feminists push are actually really bad for your health. Birth control is horribly bad for a woman's health. But then they talk about it as if it's this, you know, you're empowered now, you can go out and have free sex. Well, no, because it actually is going to increase your risk of breast cancer, ovarian cancer. It's, you know, it creates huge hormone imbalance. We have this woman on from time to time, very big expert on this is Leslie Carol Botha, and she talks about that a lot. And it's a, you know, huge, and this HPV vaccine, which doesn't anyway, I don't even want to get into that. But that doesn't, HPV doesn't cause cancer. It's like the whole nine yards. It's all bullshit. So just check into that. So it's nothing female empowerment about it either, or women in the military. It's not empowering.
Well,
so,
sure. I mean, you know, it's you know, women can vote now. It's like, oh wait, so you're buying into a BS false appeal to authority government system, and then before you were free from tax, and now the government can tax you. Oh, yeah, you're liberated, all right. Oh, sure. Oh, wait, yeah, it was
exactly.
Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda, who PR'd that whole thing, right? And, by the way, Edward Bernays was close friends with Gordon Wasson, who we were discussing earlier, so no irony there.
Yeah.
You know, the same guy who was behind helping the creation of the psychedelic movement was behind the creation of the feminist movement. And how ironic that the two should be so closely related and constantly sold together by the Esalen Institute and guys like Terrence McKenna and on down the list, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
No coincidence, folks. Don't look over there.
Yeah, but none of these guys, they just all hang out together. They sit in the same hot tub and play in the same sandbox. They just, or just coincidentally all happened to be together.
Yep.
Gloria Steinem just happened to take money from the CIA. I think she admitted it proudly, too. She was like, oh, yeah, it was great. The government wanted to get involved to help us.
Gloria Steinem. Okay. Hold on a second. I just want to look and see if I have her listed anywhere here. Okay, so Gloria Steinem. Yep, she is CIA. That's the first thing that that my reference pulls up is that she was CIA. That's actually her primary thing. So she creates feminism, and she ties it into eugenics. She also helps promote lesbianism and misandry, promotes the birth control pill, the destruction of the family. She's also the one who – oh, wait, let me see. She also ties into, interestingly, Jim Jones – and the Jonestown Massacre.
Ooh.
Through her creation of feminism. Now, he was tied into that. You know, and I think the Jonestown Massacre was the CIA's mind control experiment to see if they could get a large mass of people to kill themselves. You know, and I think their goal was to try that on the whole of the population, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Ugh. I didn't know that about the Jonestown thing. I mean, I knew that she took money,
well, feminism ties into there, you know, and I'll have to dig further down to see how if there's a connection directly between her and Jim Jones. But Jim Jones comes out of feminism.
Mm-hmm.
Or am I, hold on a second. Yeah, Jonestown, Charles Boswell, Governor Jerry Brown was related with Jim Jones, as was Harvey Milk, the gay guy up in San Francisco that they killed. So Willie Brown was related to him also. So there's some interesting stuff in there. I mean, it's hard to believe that Jim Jones wasn't CIA as well, and that that whole thing wasn't some sort of CIA MKUltra type experiment.
Yeah. They're all connected. We called that the San Francisco Mafia. All those guys that you mentioned, they're all Jerry Brown and Willie Brown and all these guys.
You know,
Harvey Milk and Moscone and everybody.
I had the misfortune of meeting Jerry Brown once. Oh, my God. I mean, the guy was just, he just made me nauseous. I tell you what. Boy,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, on that note, we are out of time here, but it's been really fun. I could go on with you forever, but it's going on a little too long.
All right.
I am going to have to end the show. But I adore you coming on. I think you're awesome. I don't think you're CIA. I think that guy's a loser. And I certainly hope that we can bring down some hippie hate and spread some awareness about this. So, Jan, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, April, for having me.
You're very welcome. So I am going to take a quick break, and when I get back, I think Christine's going to be rejoining me to close out the show, but you can find Jan at GnosticMedia.com, so please stay tuned.
Yes, hello. I wanted to say that I love the conspiracy realist t-shirt that you can get only online at ship.truthortiz.com. I knew a conspiracy when I see one. America is run by the CIA. Yes, the CIA. That's why you have to wear a conspiracy realist t-shirt all the time to let people know that you are not stupid. Go to ship.truthortiz.com. Ship.truthortiz.com. Ship. Like to go shipping when you buy things at the grocery store. .truthortiz.com.
Hey, welcome back to Truth or Talk.
Hey, I'm back. Lomarain was not as easy as it looks.
You were on a Learjet. That's what I said in the intro. I go, well, maybe she's on a Learjet, but I doubt it, but it would be kind of cool if she was. going somewhere cool, you know, because I know you like to travel. So.
I love to travel.
So why not on a Learjet? I don't know. As long as there's no, like, you're not spraying on the outside of it. As long as it's not one of those kind of planes. So you got a chance to listen to my interview, or it wasn't really an interview. I was kind of just chatting with Jan. The first time we had him on was an interview. The second, this last one was just kind of a talk. before we were discussing this, all this stuff that's going on.
Fuck those fake liberals. That's what I say.
Oh, nice. I'm glad you said fake liberal, because when he kept he was using the term hippie hate, which, but I think of the hippie hate as under the umbrella of the fake liberal, because fake liberals can be more than just a hippie, but that's still the same kind of thing, is that's basically they're hypocritical. I wonder if the word hippie comes from hypocritical. Hippie, hypocritical, maybe.
Maybe. You know, it's interesting, because I know some really nice, well-intentioned, you would say hippie-ish people, and I wouldn't put them under that category, but I would say that, you know, they're just people that the hide behind the guise of being good in order to kind of serve their own needs.
Right.
And I think that there are people that they're like, oh, I like the earth, I like this, and, you know, I give to the United Negro College Fund, and I vote for Obama, and but they're like racist. They're, you know, but if you know, but they don't really like maybe the average black person, or they like with the mushrooms, right? They were saying that, you know, they're attacking him personally, but, you know, under the guise of being like really nice, calm, spiritual people, but then they're like attacking him like monsters, you know?
Yeah.
When they
exactly.
actually spend that time actually reading what he wrote.
Right.
If like, they're attacking him, they're not reading what he wants. Like, they're missing the point of what he's trying to say. And it's, I mean, I think that there are cases where psychedelics have been healing, but it's also, it can leave you very open to manipulation and mind control.
Right.
And we know that at least LSD, I actually haven't read Jan's book. It's on my list of things to read. But from what I got was saying too, you know, that the CIA, Germany, Operation Paperclip.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was all kind of mixed up in the mind control experiments that they were doing. They created like LSD, and
right.
and they know when you do these things, it leaves you very open. And I've tried mushrooms and acid before, you know, young when I was younger. But I think that anybody, if I have younger friends or family members, like, oh, I want to try like LSD or mushroom. What should I do? And I was like, well. LSD, I mean, I don't really recommend, but mushrooms are a little bit safer. But I always say, you know, if you're curious, you know, kind of research it, see what it does to your body, see what it's against. And then if you still want to do it around people that you are safe with. Don't ever put yourself in a situation where you're going to, you know, be vulnerable. Because also, if you have malintended people, they can use it to manipulate you.
Right.
You know, because your world is just basically, your perception is so, like, out of whack that, you know, you're easily controllable. And I think that that's what, you know, these people that were into mind control were easily doing with, you know, these hallucinogenic drugs. And they're trying to steer people in a certain direction. I get that.
Yeah.
But I also know, I've heard of cases where people, like, ayahuasca, that's considered a hallucinogenic, right?
I don't know. I guess so.
You know, but it's thought to have cured, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and Max Egan, we had him on our show, and he talked about it. He had a really positive experience with it. But these people that are like attacking him, they're just fucking ridiculous, and they should be ashamed. Like, shame on them. Really, really, under the guise of being a hippie, under the guise of being.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, we're not, you know, we're not anti. I mean, we're not telling anybody what to put into their bodies, and I think that was a point that, you know, he brought up. He's like, it's not that I haven't tried psychedelics many times. I have, and I have too, and you have. I mean, we've tried them, and we know what they're like. And it's not, you know, like we're these prudes that are all don't do drugs, guys. You know, stay off drugs, be clean. You know, we're not like that. It's not a bias against what these people are doing. We're not trying to say that, you know, they are stupid for trying psychedelics or anything like that. He's just presenting this information from years and years of research that this is what these things are used for, and these are what, you know, our government actually knows that this is how it affects your brain. It makes you more susceptible, and it makes you weaker and more prone to cult. And so I feel like he's trying to warn them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's trying to, like we were talking about before, he's trying to help people. He's trying to get people to think. He's, you know, he's really into the trivium, and that's one of the things that, one of the reasons he's behind it is because he's trying to help people empower themselves. He doesn't want to see people get led astray, and that's his message. He's not, like, that's what I get from it, at least. I don't think that, you know.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, with us, I mean, as far as what you were saying at the beginning of the show with regards to the GMOs, or, you know, what we talk about when we talk about the vaccines or HIV testing or any of these things, where we talk about these fallacies in the medical industry, these shams, these big shim-shams on the limb.
Yeah, totally.
Is that we want to warn people. We don't want to tell you that you're stupid and that you were duped because we were duped, you know? We went down that road, too. We're not like, but we were actually able to see, oh, I went down that road and I made a mistake and maybe I should rethink what I did. You know, because we all tried psychedelics. We're not like sitting there saying it's that you're wrong and you should never have done it and that it makes you a bad person. We're just saying this is potentially something that could harm you and it could make you more susceptible to cults. And this is what your government has been planning for you for a long time. They're trying to set this thing up so that you will be more vulnerable, so you won't have these certain types of emotions. Like, they're trying to tell him, oh, well, don't get upset about it. You know, don't get upset that someone's, like, calling you CIA and they're attacking you and they're making vicious comments and calling you stupid and trying to ridicule you.
Yeah.
By, like, you know, your Facebook mailbox is full of, like, 15 messages from psycho hippies that are trying to, like, say all these horrible things and spread disinformation about you to the public.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you supposed to not get mad?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, I was listening to this interview the other day. It was, I think it was Celia Farber, and she was saying, like, I want to say Jewish. God, anyway, she was saying that certain cultures, I would just say, that libel is actually considered a form of murder. You know, when you're slandering somebody. That is considered, you know, because some cultures really take reputation really seriously.
Yeah.
And you can, and people don't like to think that. I mean, I've definitely, I kind of mentioned an incident in the beginning of the series, but, you know, there were other instances too, where I was, you know, I was a victim of malicious gossip. And, you know, it can be very damaging. You know,
right.
And people know this, and that whole shit, sticks and stones, it's fucking, that only works in, like, Leave It to Beaver. Like, really?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really fare out in the real world. But if I have to go off on people, I never feel bad about it, because I'm always pushed. I don't really start stuff at people. I always...
Right, and that's my point, is that sometimes we get mad at these people who come on our page and, you know, promote pro-vaccine rhetoric, or they try, but they're not even promoting pro-vaccine rhetoric, they're just trying to insult us or whatever. And, you know, like I was telling you on how I used to have this guy, he used to call me a secretary. I don't know why. I don't know what his deal was, but he used to do that. I think it was sort of like a sexist sort of insult. And not to say that, you know, to try and bring sexism into it, but it was just because I'm a woman, so he just took something personal about me, the fact that I'm a woman. And so because would he call a man a secretary? I doubt it.
Yeah.
It was just sort of like, I don't know, I can't insult what you're saying. I can't insult your message, because everything that you're showing is citable, and, you know, you have the data to prove it. You have the personal experience. Everything is there. So I'm just going to say you're stupid by calling you a secretary.
Yeah, that's like, and if you're, you know, being bullied at school and somebody, you're maybe a smart ass. Like, when I got bullied a lot when I was younger, but I was a smart ass. I would never start stuff, but people might say something, and then, like, I would outwit them, and then they get mad and they, like, physically attack me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't hit somebody on Facebook, but you're all out of words, and you know that you're wrong, but you still want to get them back. And now that you're mad that you're stupid, and the only thing left to do is insult the person. You can't physically do that, so you have to pull out a name, or you have to pull out a sexist or racist or homo, whatever, comment, something to get the person back, to get at them that way.
Right, exactly.
You have no intelligence to back up what you're saying. You just, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because we were talking about the whole feminism thing, too, because I was like, I'm not pointing out the fact that this guy used a sexist comment, because sexism is worse towards women than it is towards men. I'm just pointing out the fact that's all he had, because he was that stupid. And that's the thing, is like, we come back at these people calling them names like that sometimes, because they come to us first, and that's where it's like, you know, it goes back to, don't start none, won't be none.
Yeah.
Like, I won't attack you if you don't attack me first, because then you give me no choice. You make me have to defend myself and say, yeah, something, and it just in my defense, like, because you're not coming up with anything intelligent to say. You're just attacking me personally. That has nothing to do with anything. Like, say, let's say I was a secretary. So what? Does that make me stupid? You know. So again, it's like he's insulting secretaries. You know, male or female. I mean, because he's trying to insinuate that would make me stupid.
Yeah.
And you know, and I had one guy say that I was inciting violence because I was promoting children not be vaccinated, so therefore I was promoting...
That doesn't
like,
even make sense.
Yeah, that
not
I was promoting
like
violence.
Alice in Wonderland sense. It doesn't...
Right. No, well, it was like what Bill Gates said, you know, anyone who promotes anti-vaccine rhetoric is actually killing children. And so, which is Orwellian, because he's the one that's killing children. But that's the kind of thing that this guy was saying to me, was that I was actually promoting, like, causing children to die by telling my story, you know. And one guy said he hated me, like, oh, I hate you. Because I told that one essay that I had on Gaia Health where I talked about my son's regression. It's like I talked about that from a very personal, vulnerable place, and he's like, I hate you. I'm like, fuck you then, you know? Yeah. I mean,
you know what? Unfortunately, though, those people are going to have to learn the hard way. That really, I think eventually those people will get, either they'll end up being vaccine injured or seeing somebody that is, or maybe they'll just die in not knowing. Who knows? But it's just frustrating, too, because we're actually trying to help people and warn people. We're not trying to, you know, proselytize people. And it's just that's where it gets very, very frustrating.
Right, well, what's our agenda? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we getting out of it? What are we
we're getting hippie hate.
we're getting hippie hate. Like, we're not getting any, like, it's not a benefit to us, you know? And so I think that what Jan was talking about was just, like, these people... I mean, and they're so hypocritical because they like we said at the beginning of the show, they promote this, like, oh, you're supposed to have nothing but happiness and positive love and this and that, and that he's actually creating the negativity because he's defending himself and getting angry.
Like vampires promoting sunscreen.
Yeah. It's just, right. So, well, you're defending yourself because you're getting angry because people are calling you stupid and a CIA agent, but then you have, you're creating that problem. Well, no, because you came at me. What are you talking about? I'm creating it. You came at me.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what these people are, like that guy who's, I don't know, that the guy who, what was it that I was just talking about? Oh, who was telling me that I was promoting, like, the death of children or something like that. And I was like, whoa, he was psycho enough that I had to block him.
Wow.
But, you know, because occasionally they're that crazy and you have to just, like, get rid of them. And then once in a while you can kind of, I mean, either just try and talk to them, because sometimes they're worth talking to, and other times they're not, and you just kind of either delete them or you know, and in my case, I might Rickroll you.
Or
I might send you
pictures of animals with guns. We do that too.
Yeah, just
silly pictures, because you get to a point, too, where you realize they're not really trying to understand you. They're just here to show you how smart they think they are, but really, you know.
Because they want to be on the winning team. I really think it comes down
to
that. Like, when I was talking to Jan, I was telling him that story, which I've told you before, about when I was in college and the feminists and how they reacted about the rape, Bill Clinton raping all these women. And I found that to be so, like, hypocritical, because here they are supposed to be like, well, women are such victims and we're the ones that get raped, even though men do get raped. It's just because we've, in our society, indoctrinated them to believe that they can't be vulnerable and can't talk about it. So we don't hear about it as much. But they actually do, too, and in higher numbers in some cases. But... so women can talk about being raped a little more easily, even though it's still kind of taboo. They promote that, like, oh, we're so in for women, but then on the same time, they're going, but since it was Bill Clinton, it's okay. Because we want to be on the winning team.
Yeah.
That's how much we'd rather be on the winning team than actually do what's right.
That's a perfect way to say that. Yes, people that want to be on the winning team. Which goes back to that high school petty shit. You want to be with the popular kids. And usually the popular kids are the most insensitive, ignorant, you know, self-indulgent, horrible people. okay, there are exceptions, I'm sure.
I was one of the popular kids.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Okay, you know where I was.
I was a cheerleader, but, I know what you mean, though, because I'll tell you what happened to me is that I kind of, like you said, I sort of wanted to be in that group, so I joined the cheerleading squad. I sort of made an effort to get in, and I did. And then, but then once I was there, I saw that everybody was an asshole. And you think that, you know, by being popular, people like you, but they actually don't. They actually resent you. They want to be invited to the parties and stuff, so they want to be your friend because they think that that way they're in, like they can get to all these, you know, keggers and things like that. But to actually get to know you and stuff like that. They don't really, but you also get, I mean, I had many, 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 many people call me a snob or say all these things or that they just sort of assume that you're going to be rude to them when you're not, and they don't even give you a chance. So you can get stereotyped on that end of it as well. But I will say that for the most part, you're right, because by my senior year, I went to a party like early on in senior year, got really drunk, and everybody was so obnoxious and rude, and I could just kind of see it very clearly, and I just told everyone to fuck off, and and that was it. And I just, the rest of my senior year, I was a ghost. I never saw anybody, and I pretty much was gone from school the entire year. It was at the beginning of the school year, and I just hated them all so much.
Yeah.
You know, I did, because they were so, like you say, they were so self-indulgent, and they just turn on you in a minute.
Yeah.
For whatever.
They're not authentic,
you know,
people. They're not, you know.
Right. They're not really your friends. They're just going to turn on you like
well,
that.
Then,
and
so then going back to that analogy, the people that want to be on the winning team, they're fighting for these people who are actually trying to kill you. They're not really, they don't really have their best interests in mind.
Right.
You know, and the people that are trying to help, it's like they have it all backwards. The people that are trying to help you, you know, they attack, but then, you know, they're stand up for somebody like Bill Gates. And like, Bill Gates wants you dead. Bill Gates
right.
is poisoning your cornflakes as you eat them for breakfast. Don't you get it? Like,
and what, right, and this guy's a billionaire. What makes you think he needs your, like, support? You know, he's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. We're the ones that are doing this show for nothing.
Yeah, you know.
And we're, like, trying to help people because we care about this, and it gives us a sense of that we're actually, you know, putting things out there that are important for people to talk about, even if it's going to cause us to have some hippie hate in our return. Because bring it, you know, whatever. I mean, as long as people are talking about it, and maybe some people will start to wake up on that side of it, because I think just like what he's saying as far as what Jan's research was into all of this, into the psychedelics, and, you know, we've researched into the medical and health aspect, you can use it in the same sense, is that we're trying to warn people about these things. We're not trying to hurt them.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to help them. We're trying to help
people see
that.
We're not receiving money. That's like the best. You didn't notice, too, whenever there's somebody that goes against the grain, and like somebody like Bill Gates or any of the top people that people worship, they'll say, oh, well, those people are receiving money. From whom?
Right.
Where's my bank account still not fat? Like, where's the, like, I don't.
Oh, I know, right.
Like,
we're
getting money from whom? And who would have interest in saying these things?
Right. Exactly.
Who would be profiting?
You know?
You think that the other people, but if you look at it, the other people would have something to gain. That they're
exactly.
Falling. They have more to gain than the people that are coming out saying this stuff. Logic is saving money. But it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Who, the, you know, anyway.
I mean, and even if we were to get money for doing our show, it's a job. It's valid, you know, to receive income for this. But we're not. We wish. But if we were, it doesn't mean that necessarily we're not on the up and up. We're not getting paid by, you know, to say the things that we're saying. We're just getting, I mean, but if we got paid to sell a T-shirt, you know, I'd be excited. But it's not, I mean, we're not making Bill Gates kind of money. We're not making Al Gore kind of money, these
yeah.
douchebags who come in and, you know, promote like they're liberals. Those are the fucking fake liberals, for real.
Yeah.
Because anyone who, Bill Gates is a fake liberal. He comes out and he's a eugenicist. He just wants to kill people. He loves it all day long. And then Al Gore, same thing. I mean, he's this whole carbon thing. It's like, oh, too many people breathe in the air. I'm going to tax you for it. Just pay me money and it'll all go away. It's like.
Yeah, nobody ever says that he's receiving money, but they are.
But he
You're
is.
Giving him money. He's receiving
Al
it from
Gore's
you. Yeah.
Billionaire. Good gig for him. This global warming thing has been very profitable for this guy. He's getting a ton of money. He's like, he's a total billionaire now.
What if he had a bicycle if he cares so much? Why is he living in a teepee, you know? I don't see.
He doesn't give a shit. He's like, oh, well, I pay into my carbon credits. To who? Yourself?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the good deal work that you've worked out. You don't have to pay anything, and yet the environment is going to be magically fixed. So he's an asshole.
Yeah.
and that would be what I would call a fake liberal. And the hippie hates, they're kind of under the umbrella of that. The feminists that I was talking about, you know, these fake feminists who act like they care about the cause, but they'll really support a guy who rapes a woman. It's like, you know.
Same thing, too. Like, I face it with Obama, you know.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like, I'm a sellout because I don't agree with his policies, and I don't really like him, and I didn't vote for him the second term. I did for the first term because I drank the Kool-Aid, but I threw it up.
Yeah, we vomited it out.
Yeah.
Projectile.
But you know,
like the Exorcist.
Yeah, totally, too. But I think, too, this is one thing that people have to realize, too. It takes a lot for people to realize that they have been duped. And I think once you admit that, you can. It kind of makes you stronger and empowers you, so
right.
you don't make the same mistake again, and it gives puts the power back into your hand. But a lot of these people too, I think they don't want to admit that they've been bamboozled. They want to think like that they're smarter than everybody, and that can happen to them.
Right.
Yeah, and that's another reason why they attack you. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to admit that they've been duped by the government or, you know, or whatever.
And in this case, these people, these hippie haters, they dupe themselves because they go in and they experience something when they go on these psychedelics. And maybe they do experience something, but they kind of act, but they get so angry at the fact that, you know, he says that, well, these are actually used to manipulate people into cults and into mind control, and I have the information to prove it. You know, so, and it's not like I haven't tried it myself. It's not like I'm, you know, I'm thinking I'm above you or anything. Mm. It's just that this is what it is. And I think if you're really confident in your own intelligence and yourself, you don't take it personal, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like these people, they take it personal. They get personally offended and attacked by the fact that I say my son's vaccine damaged. Well, he fucking is, and it happened, and I'm not going to say that it didn't. So... why does that offend you personally? Because you believe in the vaccine program? So, you know, that makes you feel like you're stupid? I mean, just get over it. It's like it either happened or it didn't. And if we agree that it happened, then, you know, you have to think critically about that and think, well, maybe it's not, these things aren't infallible. Maybe there is a bad side to them.
Yeah.
You know, and actually there's absolutely no good side. I could argue that point. But anyway, that's
anybody would take the measles or whooping cough. You know, over having somebody that has autism or vaccine damage any day, too.
Right, even if they did work, which they don't.
Yeah.
But if they did, in theory, if they worked. But so that's the whole thing. So I was glad that he was able to come on and do that and talk to us with that, or talk to me, since you weren't here. Damn you,
Christy. I know. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I enjoyed my conversation with him, and he's a good fellow, and we're not... thinking that he's, you know, whoever these people are, these hippie haters, I mean, you know, get a life. Like, go find something else to do.
Read a book.
Christ.
Yeah, it's a funny thing.
Read a book.
Yeah.
Get a hacky sack. Whatever you guys need to do to, like,
light
a campfire,
man. Like, what are you doing? Like,
I mean, right. Just know that.
We're talking about the hippie haters, not the hippies, just to make that clear.
Yeah, not exactly. The hippie haters, we're not generalizing to everybody.
Not all hippies, so.
Right, you know, if they call themselves that or whatever, I don't know. But anyway, I talked to him a little bit about that, too. I did kind of, I experienced that, too, when I was growing up. You know, I was around all these people, these hippies, these deadheads. And there was a lot of hippie hate. They weren't really that peace, love, and understanding. It didn't look that way to me. They look like people that were dirty dreggies, to be honest. A lot of them, you know, that's what those places looked like to me. And when I was a kid, I was kind of afraid of a lot of this. And there was the same kind of thing. Like, my dad, as I mentioned before, was very politically astute. He did not fall in for the false right-left paradigm. So he always taught me to look at a person as an individual and not go in for that. And he was on the receiving end of many, like, violent conversations because of it. People always thought that, you know, he was a Republican or whatever, which he wasn't.
If he was, so what? You know what I mean? That's
right.
The thing. Like, if you're really about peace, truth, and love, you will accept that and try and see their side of the story.
Exactly.
Not just attack them, you know?
Right. And so their whole theory is that, you know, be free and have peace and have love, but only if you agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise, we're going to attack you and we're going to harass you and we're going to stalk you and we're going to, you know, it's like, fuck. Woo! Get a life. God. So, on that note, thanks to Jan Irvin for being on the show today.
Thank you, Jan. Sorry I wasn't able to be there, but, yeah.
Yeah, she's just, you know, she's just a hippie hater. thanks to Jan Irvin of Gnostic Media. You can check out his website at GnosticMedia.com. You can check out us at TruthRuTalk.com, where we still have Conspiracy Realist t-shirts available. We thank you guys always, and we mean it. We always add the peace, truth, and love. We have the truth aspect of it, because we think that you can't have true peace and love without the truth. And that's what these hippie haters want. They want to say, oh, peace and love, but they don't want to know.
But they have their fingers crossed. They have one sign with the peace sign, and the other fingers are like, you know, crossed behind their backs, basically.
Exactly.
So
we mean it. We believe
you have both hands up with the two peace signs.
Exactly. So on that note, we're going to close out. Peace, truth, and love, y'all.
Peace, truth, and love, guys. Bye-bye.
Met a girl, thought she was grand. Fell in love, found out firsthand. Went well for a week or two. Then it all came unglued. In a trap, trip I can't grip. Never thought I'd be the one who'd slip. Then I started to realize.